Our reading today is from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give you them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for the greatness of your word, the example of your hospitality and grace, and the mystery and generosity of your love. May these things guide our thoughts, our hearts, and our response. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as the rain started to come down in sheets, the gradient of what the guidebook said was a hill was increasingly teetering towards a vertical drop. A drop that went deep into a distant valley below. And now it was seeming so much higher than ever. Far below me, I thought that I saw a passenger plane going by. Of course, it might have been a pigeon. But with no other option, I had to keep inching down, down and down, often backwards on my hands and knees, with fingers and toes digging in to the mud as the rain poured down. At one point, I thought I'd passed Bear Grylls, who was clinging to a bush in fear. And nearly an hour later, I reached the ground, wet to the skin, white-knuckled, covered in mud, and certainly red-faced. And my dearest, dearest companion, who happens to be my wife as well, who'd reached the bottom some 20 minutes before I had, just smiled sweetly, trying to choke back the laughter a little bit, I think, and said, "Oh, well, it's all part of God's creation." But not in a good mood at the time. I thought, well, on what day did God create that hill? And couldn't he just have rested on that day as well? Well, in Psalm 45 we read, "I will meditate on your wonderful works." But I confess, for me, it may have been more of a mope on his wonderful works than a meditation. But I'd done it. I'd gotten to the bottom of that hill in one piece, and Bear Grylls was still stuck. Well, actually, it might not have been Bear Grylls. It might have been a sheep, or it might just have been my imagination. In fact, I'm pretty sure that it was my imagination, because I'm a big fan of Bear Grylls. This is someone who's climbed Everest, who's rowed across the Atlantic. He was an SAS serviceman, chief scout, and an all-round humble Christian role model. Now, I said Bear Grylls has probably got the edge on me, but being someone who gets a nosebleed at the top of a ladder you might also agree. But this psalm is bringing us back to the glorious reality of the true word, greatness. In many ways, great is a word that we need to be reclaiming. Last week, my wife asked me how the Yorkshire pudding was, and I said, it's great. But I didn't mean it was like Bear Grylls, and I certainly didn't mean that it was in the same way, in any way, as God is great. Greatness is something that we can barely express, yet we feel compelled to celebrate his greatness through our bodies, through our minds, and through our voices. The amazing truth is that we are all called like David, and this is a psalm of calling to that greatness. We are all called to worship our God and King, and it reads, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Now, when we read those words, it obviously brings to mind all those times throughout our lives that we've gathered and sung and celebrated that calling together. And that might be in early life assemblies, in church, at special occasions and events, and some of us at Christian festivals and conferences. And we know how special that together aspect of worship and faith is. It's not something that we ideally want to do in isolation. We want to bang the drum, to sing the song and spread the word right alongside David in this psalm. In my time at CTK, it's been a really special blessing to experience the passion for sung worship that you all share, and to get to know some of the worship leaders who, some of them even during lockdown, have continued to create new worship material for us to share. But we know from scripture and from Christian history that there have been times when circumstances call us to change the way we celebrate and live out this calling, this special calling. And being here together today, we know that these circumstances certainly have not changed the church. They've not stopped us from one generation to another, as the psalm says, teaching each other. And that brings us to telling one another of his mighty works in different ways. This is so relevant to each of us. But I must share that as this is my last service amongst you for the time being, as I prepare to share in the leadership of a new group of churches, these words jump off the page for me. We continue to tell and teach of his mighty works. And that certainly includes continuing to tell and teach ourselves in prayer and in meditation. And one of my new churches that I'll be sharing and leading has had its fair share of celebrity preachers over the years, one of whom was a chap called John Wesley, who visited a church many times, who was famous for saying, I do not have time not to pray. We all need to continue to marshal our own selves and our relationship with God every day in community and in solitude. And a telling church is an evangelizing church. A people that reach out to community through diverse outreach programs and a heart for mission. At CTK, we're blessed with such a large group of mission-minded people who've been perhaps busier than ever over the last challenging and isolating months. And it's in some ways so exciting to see. But perhaps God has another level of outreach and evangelism for this community just around the corner. And you might be asking yourself at this time, as it has been a season of reflection, how we might be serving in new ways, how we might take that next step in supporting our group leaders for the first time. And I know from experience that that can be quite scary and quite exciting. It certainly was for me. And when I say the words like telling and evangelizing, please don't run away. I'm not an extrovert, I'm certainly an introvert, and not in the habit of preaching on street corners. Yet I do really admire those ancestors of our great prophets like Jeremiah and Elijah and so many people who have come to faith through exhilarating, what some people might call, foghorn ministry. But that's a peculiar gift. Let's keep in mind that a fruit fly in the ear of the driver can overturn the prison bus and set the captives free. That a simple word, simple, gentle, quiet word, or act of random kindness can change a life. It can put somebody on a road towards their king for the first time. So often the gospel travels best, not through force, but through fascination. I love that song lyric, "It only takes one tree to make 1,000 matches, it only takes one match to burn 1,000 trees. Sounds slightly Pentecostal. Kingdom fire from us little match heads. And according to our gifts, what are we telling? What are we telling? What is it that God would have us say? Well, there was a man who had a reputation for being the best fisherman on a certain large lake. No one knew how he did it. The others caught maybe one or two fish, while he always brought back his limit of large fish. The person who most wanted to find out his secret was the game warden. Without telling him who he was, he got the man to take him with him one morning, and very early they crossed the lake in the fog. The warden noticed that he had no fishing tackle. Well, they finally arrived at a secluded cove, and the man opened up a box and pulled out a stick of dynamite. He lit it, threw it in the water, it exploded, and a bunch of fish floated to the surface. The warden then told the man who he was, and that he, the fisherman, was in a lot of trouble. Well, the man started to think, then reached into the box, pulled out another stick of dynamite, lit it, and handed it to the warden, saying, "Are you going to just sit there, or are you going to fish?" Well, in a sense, Jesus asks us this Sunday what we are going to do. Today, we shared a confession, and it was a prayer that we all shared together, one and the same. We made a choice, we changed our minds, we were given a new heart, and we made a new choice. One of the hardest things for people today is to make a firm choice or decision. We have so many options and people want to keep their options open. That's fine. It's fine to keep our options open. If we're shopping for a new mountaineering coat or a fresh pair of trousers, but disastrous in one's relationship with God. In that most vital area, we have to make a decision. And like that man in the boat, we're going to sit there, or are we going to fish? Jesus is very upfront about this. He tells the reason we need to repent now, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is like a treasure buried in a field, which a man discovers. Then he sells everything he has in order to buy the field. A lot of people wish 20 years ago that they'd sold everything to buy shares in Microsoft or Google or Starbucks, whatever it might be. People keep looking for a stock that will build and double and triple in value. Well, the kingdom of heaven is the one sure thing. But we have to invest everything that we've got. And that is what we are telling. And if we are sharing in God and in Jesus and salvation, we are telling, and what we are telling is that we are sharing in the vision of the kingdom. Psalm 145 reads, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendour of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. This is a richness and a truth and a generosity that we can barely get a grip on. It feels unsafe, it feels unsturdy, so unlike worldly experience. And that is why it's great. We live on the slippery cliff face. We live in isolation and brokenness. We live in a world where loved ones might betray us. But we live, and we live fully, and we live wholly, and we live holy, and we live wholesomely as best we can, day by day, minute by minute. Because we share in that kingdom vision that David and the prophets and Jesus and us disciples speak of from generation to generation, as the psalm says, in love and in compassion and in truth. My time at CTK has been a rich blessing to me and to my family, as it has been to countless families and individuals. Now is our time as a family to move forward and take some of what we've learned amongst you guys to another place, just as Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. And in that time, the church has been changing, and our policies and outlooks will change too. But God remains eternally the same, and so will remain the Smith family's love for all of you, always, forever, and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.